Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dave Schrader, sports reporter and anchor for WBAY-TV, Channel 2 in Green Bay, now joining us. Dave, how you doing, buddy?
I am doing well. Got a coat on and a hat on, ready to head to Lambeau for some assistant coach interviews.
Yeah, I was going to say, they have the assistant coaches, and then after that, everybody's pretty much gone until they all reconvene next week. So let me ask you this, and I've been asking everybody. So this team now has a little bit less than two weeks to kind of get themselves ready for the game in San Francisco. What, if you had to pick one or two things specifically they need to get better at for this team to make a deep run, what are they?
Number one, defending tight ends. They've done well at bending but not breaking, but they've bent in big ways against tight ends. The ancient Greg Olsen had 100 yards or nearly 100 yards the other day. If you look at the other contenders in the NFC, they all have great tight ends. San Fran has George Kittle, who knows if he'll be healthy enough to play in 2 weeks. But then you look at the Vikings, Rudolph had that amazing one-hand grab. He's dangerous. You look at New Orleans, they have Jared Cook, the former Packer. You look at the Seahawks, well, Disley on IR, but Jacob Hollister playing well with Russell Wilson, who always looks to his tight ends. All the big teams you have to contend with have tight ends, and you haven't defended them great so far.
The tight end is one. What about moving the ball around? Now that Davante Adams has come back, and he did have a good game, do you feel the need is still there to get the ball into your playmaker like Aaron Jones's hands out of the backfield, or are you good with the way things are right now?
I think it's game plan dependent. If you look at what the Patriots did so well over the years to reach multiple Super Bowls, it was with defense a lot and with offense a lot, dictating what you do to who your opponent is more than who you are. If you can do a lot of things well, you can beat a lot of teams because you don't have to do it one way. I think that's the key for the Packers. A healthy Davante Adams gives them that option. He draws coverage in the red zone and all day long, yet you still have those running backs that you could beat other people with. So I think that's the key, not being reliant on any one thing, but being able to do things effectively many ways.
I like what has gone on with this offense. I appreciate the fact that Aaron Rodgers, more often than not, has bought into things. I think he's having a super season, even though statistically it may not look like it. Give me your assessment of where Aaron Rodgers is in this newer offense, the acceptance of it, and the way he distributes the football.
You know, Aaron Rodgers is not going to win the MVP this year. He's had two games they've won without him throwing a touchdown pass, and you have other quarterbacks league-wide lighting it up. But, you know, winning the MVP doesn't help you win games all that often. I've done a lot of stories over the years about the fact that no MVP has won the Super Bowl that same season since Kurt Warner in 1999, and there's a reason for that. The reason is, if you're too dependent on one star carrying your team, you're going to run into someone who takes that away in a playoff, and you're going to lose. So I think Aaron Rodgers is playing remarkably well, and I think he's not going to get the stats and the accolades, so that's fine by him at this point in his career.
Special teams has not been good. The coverage units have been a little lackluster. Obviously, this last game, we have seen the cold weather have an effect on J.K. Scott. But the punting game's been good. The kicking game's been pretty good. The return game has not been there. Is there any way to expect an uptick out of this team, or is this just get through the end of the season and see if, again, you can improve it?
You know, in week one, we were so high on Sean Menenga's unit for what they were doing in special teams. Adrian Amos helping cover those punts. They had a little bit of return game with Trevor Davis. You had J.K. Scott with a game-winning punt that has been immortalized in a T-shirt. But they really have not played that well of late. And J.K. Scott had, a 36-yard punt and like a 39-yard punt. And it's not when he was trying to pin someone deep the other day. That is a big question mark. But as I look back at those plays and those punts, the other teams are getting a lot of pressure on Scott. He's not able to step into his punt and really do his job. I'm really interested to see if they can shore up the blocking for him and if that makes a difference. Because it looks like the weather's turning. He's not performing so well. But I think there's a few components to that. We'll see if they fix the blocking, if his punt average and net average improves again.
So I want to know your thoughts on the top, say, three or five teams in the NFC. Where do the Green Bay Packers rank?
I think so often you look at the team right in front of your face and you see their warts for what they are, and you don't really take account for how good the team is. When you watch the Niners and Seahawks last night, I don't think either team deserved to win that game. They both played very poorly in stretches, had boneheaded turnovers at times. Yet there they are. They're among the elites in the NFC. The Packers held Carolina to 16 points. Say what you will about bending but not breaking, but they did that, and that's another team with a winning record in the NFC. They've beaten the Vikings. They've beaten the Panthers. They've beaten the Cowboys, who all have winning records. They nearly beat the Eagles, who are an average team but have a winning record. I'd have to say you'd have to put the Packers right there for the best team in the NFC between them, San Fran, and Seattle. They're only going to play San Fran in the regular season, so if they win their next game, I'd have to say the Packers are the best team in the NFC. Just remains to be seen if they'll do that.
Yeah, I'm kind of waiting to see if the Packers are able to get past San Francisco and then beat Minnesota on the road. Those are kind of the two litmus tests that I have for the remainder of the season. I still think they're a very good team. I just don't know how good as of yet. We keep waiting for the other shoe to fall. Do you get that sense that everybody keeps waiting for this team just to get beat and everybody go, aha, there's the team that everybody expected at the beginning of the season? Or do you think that they have so far outplayed themselves that we should just go, you know what, this team's for real. They just got a couple of ugly warts.
Yeah, I don't think any team is perfect in the NFL, and I think the Packers are as perfectly imperfect as anyone. They're 8-2. I didn't predict them to get 8 wins all year long, for me personally. And they've done it, and they've done it before their bye week. I'm putting the storyline to bed that this team is just overachieving. This team is good. The question is how good and how far can they go, but they're good.
Wanted to also ask you, the Minnesota Vikings, very good football team. They just go down to Dallas. They got a hard-fought win down there as well. How good are the Vikings? Because when I started to rank these teams, I said, look, you can take Seattle, you can take New Orleans, you can take Green Bay, because all of those quarterbacks have won championships. I can't put a whole lot of belief into what's going on right now in Minnesota, because we don't have a Kirk Cousins that's ever got past 10 games, has ever won in the postseason. And Garoppolo, at times, just looks bad. So you tell me, with those teams right now that I had mentioned, give me the likelihood of say, the top three that I had mentioned, or the likelihood of one of the two at the bottom that I had mentioned actually winning the NFC.
I think it's all going to be who gets home field wins the NFC, at least from a Packers perspective. If they get home field, I think the Packers are going to the Super Bowl. And they're going to have pretty much the inside track. I broke it down, all the tiebreakers already. Never too early for playoff scenarios, in my opinion. The Packers control their destiny if they win out versus the Niners and the Saints, because of they'll have the head-to-head over the Niners and a better conference record than the Saints. The Seahawks, if the Seahawks and Packers both win out, the Seahawks could have home field. The problem for the Vikings is that they already have two division losses, and the Packers are 3-0 in the division. Even if the Packers lose at the Vikings and take care of business the rest of their games, if they are able to beat San Fran, the Packers are going to be in the driver's seat because of the tiebreaker. All the Packers have to do is beat the Lions and the Bears, and it doesn't matter what the Vikings do, the Packers will own any tiebreaker, even if they lose by 44 points at Minnesota. I don't think any team is good enough to say they're going to win wherever they play, but I think there's a bunch of teams that if they get the home field, namely Seattle, New Orleans, Green Bay, they can say, hey, we're not going to lose in the playoffs, so we're likely not going to lose. And I think it all comes down to who gets that home field. The Packers have everything in front of them. If they beat San Francisco, I think the Super Bowl is not just a realistic goal, but something that they should really feel bad if they aren't able to capture this year. And it sounds crazy to talk this way compared to how we were talking in August, right, Bill?
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree. Talking with Dave Schrader, sports reporter and anchor for WBAY-TV in Green Bay. So we talked about some of the things that may hold them back, being able to cover the tight end over the middle. Did they miss the boat on either one, not trying to go out and find yet another or make a trade for yet another middle linebacker, or find themselves a number two wide receiver, or are you good with what they've got?
I'm overall, let's take it part by part. First, on the defensive side of things, Ibrahim Campbell, I think, is going to make a difference there. He's back from physically unable to perform, played pretty well against the Panthers. But I think the team misses Raven Green. I think Raven Green was underrated in what he could do for this defense. In terms of trading for that, I don't know if you're going to find anything that's going to fit and learn Patton's system and be up to speed in time to make a difference. So I'm fine there. The wide receiver one, I would have been interested to see if they put in a waiver on Josh Gordon, how that would have gone. Obviously, Seattle was one place ahead of them in the waiver order, but the reports are that no other team put in a waiver claim. I think Josh Gordon is talented. I don't think he's as much a headache as like an Antonio Brown. He's had his demons with alcohol addiction and other addictions. But for the most part, I think Josh Gordon is a guy that if he helps you, he helps you, and if he relapses, he's suspended and off the team. But I don't think that would have been a terrible idea to bring him in.
The secondary of this team, tell me how good you believe are, Jair Alexander and Kevin King, and with what they've got going. I mean, obviously, you have Tremont Williams as a veteran backup back there, and he's been playing extremely well. Nobody talks about him and what he's contributed to this team. But I still think, for as aggressive as they've been, and at times Kevin King has kind of given a few things up, I still think this is one of the better secondaries in the NFC. Do you agree?
I do. I just wish they were better at squeezing the ball when they get opportunities. Jair Alexander said he wanted to be All-Pro before the season. He's put himself in position. He just hasn't caught the ball every time it's hit him in the hands. You saw the one against the Panthers. Could have ended that Panthers drive before it really got going in the 2 minutes. He's really in position an awful lot. If he just had the interception numbers, he'd probably be All-Pro. Darnell Savage, I know he had the ankle injury and has fought through that. He's been very impressive, but he gave up a way too easy touchdown for the Panthers' first score last week. This secondary needs to continue to improve to get the Packers where they want to go to the Super Bowl, but I think they will continue to improve. They're young, and I think you get Adrian Amos on the jug. I mean, if Tremont doesn't intercept that one, Adrian could have very easily tipped that to the Panthers' receiver. I'd say the secondary is great at getting in position. They just have to execute a little better. And just imagine if they do execute a little better. These turnover numbers are going to be astronomical. They're already pretty darn good. They're already with more takeaways than they had all of last year.
Are you liking what you're seeing out of Jimmy Graham? The tight end position was something that they utilized early on. Specifically, go back to the game against the Bears where they were utilizing Mercedes Lewis, and we're all thinking, wait a minute, they've got tight ends on this team. Now you're seeing Jimmy Graham. It's almost as if, I call it the Jermichael Finley effect. When they got Jermichael and Finley involved early, there was a rejuvenation, and he seemed to be completely engaged. Jimmy Graham's now getting some balls thrown to his way, and it seems like he's, not that he's youthful, don't get me wrong, but he suddenly seems like he's re-engaged.
I think he's always been engaged. It's always been a matter of getting a guy involved early. Just like you said, that's so key. I think it's key for every player, whether it's Aaron Jones, Devontae Adams, Jimmy Graham. If you get a ball in your hands on the team's first offensive drive, you get a good mojo going about you, you're going to have a much better day. I know I'm not a very good basketball player, but if my first shot goes in City League play, I'm feeling pretty good about things, you know? You've just got to get in the flow of the game, and it's hard to do that when you're older and slower than you used to be if you're not getting someone to really focus on it. And I think he's got Aaron Rodgers and now Matt LaFleur focused on getting him involved early. It's not like they're going to force it to him and make him the focal point of the offense, but they know if they want him to perform in the fourth quarter, they got to get it going in the first quarter. That just makes sense, and it's smart coaching and smart quarterbacking and smart football.
Dave, always good to talk to you. We will see you up at Lambeau Field real soon. Enjoy the week off, man, okay?
Sounds good. You too. Thanks.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. There you go. Dave Schrader, sports reporter and anchor for WBAY TV, Channel 2 in Green Bay, joining us for a couple of minutes. You can find him at Schrader, S-C-H-R-O-E-D-E-R, W-B-A-Y, at Schrader, W-B-A-Y, on Twitter. You can find his stuff there. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been doing it. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.